Hi everybody. I'm going to start off. I was given the brief today. Our title is Wales Eye Care Service, but I was given the brief to reflect on my time in Welsh Government, but also the time of Dick Roberts before me. And I actually struggled. It's quite hard to look back. You know, most of what we do, we look at statistics or evidence, or we talk about plans or future, and it's quite hard to look back. I find it anyway. And I was struggling to get inspiration or think of a theme or decide how to do the talk, except listing long things of what we'd done or hadn't done. And then I went to a poetry reading a few weeks ago by Owen Shears. And Owen Shears is a local poet to where I live, and he recently wrote a poem to celebrate 75 years of the NHS, commissioned by the BBC. And the reading that I went to was about that. And it was during that, and as I came out of that, that I thought I was thinking about Dick Roberts. So I thought I'd share some of that poetry with you and also some of Dick's work. So the poem starts in, Owen actually went into Neville Hall Hospital and spent a few months interviewing staff and patients. And I know that in the hospital now they call it the Owen Shears Room. And the poem starts in the voice of a poet, and he's pondering how the whole concept of healthcare came about. Here's the thing. How exactly would you say does an idea begin? Where does it start? In one woman's brain, one man's heart. Doesn't seem likely, does it? I mean, all of us are fueled by the thoughts of others, by what we've read, gleaned, or seen. Take all this healthcare, medicine, didn't just rise from nowhere, did it? Wherever, whenever it was, someone must have been the first to offer comfort beyond their tribe, not because they had to or should, but because they could. And I suppose since then, I find that quite an interesting thought. Shears talked about the fact that in ancient society there were three pillars, one of which was medicine, one was commerce, and one was navigation. And I pondered whether actually nowadays healthcare and the NHS is an innate part of all of us. That wish to reach out to others to help those who aren't in our family or our community, who we may never meet again. And it's a fundamental part, I think, of being a human being. And I think that's maybe why the NHS is so successful. And I wouldn't just put the NHS in there, I'd also put social care and the voluntary sector. Because it is for all people, but it's also by all people. Because people like us who provide healthcare, social care, the voluntary sector, we're all funded by the whole of society. And I wonder if that doesn't fulfil a desire within everybody. So I am now going to get to some of the point and what I was asked to talk about, and that is Dick Roberts. And the next part of the poem I'm going to read you is where the same porter is starting to think about the NHS. The story of how, in the wake of war, we came as a country to care how we do. How 70 years ago this all began. The idea born fully formed in the mind of one man, but yes, it's becoming tangible through his action. And I think the reason that made me think of Dick, because Dick was such an ideas man, he was an innovator. He found opportunities to take ideas and put them into action, and if the opportunities weren't there, he made sure that he created them. And if you think of all the things that changed in the 10 years that he was in Welsh Government, EHU, formerly PERS and WECHI, was born, the Low Vision Service Wales, Diabetic Screening Service was set up, a low wet AMD treatment was brought in throughout the UK, along with Chris Blythe. It was set up in Wales a year before NICE guidance came out, with Mike Austin, the glaucoma pathways. And also, I know that Dick was a very big part of forming WOPEC in Cardiff University. And if I think about how that's impacted on my practice, you know, just one day last month, I saw two EHU patients, someone with low vision rehabilitation. I checked that one of my patients was linked in with diabetic screening service. I referred a patient who would be seen the next day in the Austin Fire Centre with wet AMD. I saw two glaucoma patients because we're contracted to be in ODTC in the practice where I work. And next year I'm going to be doing some training with WOPEC. So it's got a fundamental impact and has changed the whole way that we work in primary care, and I'm sure also in secondary care. So now I'm going to turn within the poem. There's also the voice of Anara and Bevan. As I see it, the undertaking to provide all people with all kinds of healthcare calls for something bolder than mere adaptation. For here's an opportunity which may not recur for a thorough reconstruction of the country's health position. And I think that's what Dick did. He didn't just tweak around the edges. He saw the need with the ageing population for a thorough reconstruction of our eye care and support services. It wasn't as dramatic as what Bevan had done, but it was the start of a whole-scale change, which we heard from the Chief Medical Officer is still happening today. We're seeing more people closer to home. We've got graders, optometrists, nurses and orthoptists more involved in patients' care rather than just detecting and referring to doctors. And as I leave the sort of reflections on Dick Roberts, it would be wrong of me not to also mention Jerry Lynch, who was the civil servant alongside Dick Roberts. And I spent 4 years in government, and I can assure you I didn't meet another civil servant anything like Jerry Lynch. He was a unique character, and I do ponder whether part of, you know, Dick's success was having someone who was such a unique character, who was able to think outside the box working alongside him. And I also wondered whether Anara and Bevan, I sort of liked the idea that maybe Anara and Bevan also had a Jerry Lynch alongside. So does anyone in the audience know who took over after Anara and Bevan as health minister? No, and neither did I. But whenever I thought about it, I thought, gosh, you know, the NHS wasn't just set up in the few years that he was there. It was a long process, I'm sure, and I'm sure the person coming in after Anara and Bevan had a really difficult job, and I felt a bit like that coming in after Dick Roberts. And although he'd done a huge amount, I felt there was still an awful lot to do. At the time, many of the things were still called initiatives. Many of the services, all of the budgets, were held within Welsh Government. And Welsh Government doesn't provide healthcare, the NHS does. And there was a lot of need to raise awareness amongst the public of the services, but also amongst health boards, because they didn't really have ownership of the services and didn't realise what we were all trying to do. And I was very lucky that I had Sarah Sullivan-Adams, Philip Reardon-Smith and Henna alongside me, because there was a lot of sorting out and processes to do, and I was very glad of all of their support to do that. So we moved the funding to health boards so that they had ownership. We tweaked statutory instruments to ensure that the services and things had longevity. And we tried to get eye care more at a local level rather than all held within government. So the collaborative eye care groups were set up in each local area. Optometric advisors, where they weren't before, were appointed. But perhaps what I think was most helpful was the development of the eye care plan. It articulated, instead of one person's views or ideas, the collective thoughts of all of us and all of the community, and including users, in what we should do next in our consensus opinion. And I think all of us getting behind that really helped to stay focused. It helped us to articulate the message, gain traction with the health boards and the wider healthcare system. We started work on the plan, but when I left, there was still lots to do, and it's lovely today to see the agenda and see some of the things that weren't achieved before I left still coming to fruition. And it's great as I see the new healthcare strategy that our plan still has residents. I think we were ahead of the curve. We understood what needed to be done, and we've been getting on and doing it, just as the Chief Medical Officer has said. And when I left, I had this awful feeling that there was still so much to do, and I'm really glad that David is getting on and doing it. And as I pass to David and thinking of the future, but also I'm sure a lot of you feel the same way, that there's always so much to do. So I leave you with the final quote from an Iain Bevan. This service must always be changing, growing and improving. It must always appear to be inadequate. Thank you.